This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi, I'm Monuente Reme. I played Ichev on Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I'm your co-host, Zachary Frueling, and with me, as always, is...
Suzanne Williamson.
Well, today we're going to conclude our two-part discussion on doomed Voyager relationships. Suzanne, we had quite a long list of doomed Voyager relationships last time. So long, in fact, that we couldn't cover them all in one episode, so we decided to come back and do part two today.
So I finally get to talk about Chakotay is what you're saying, right?
Eventually, towards the end of today's podcast, you can talk about Chakotay. I'm not done making you wait for it.
Killing me, dude. I have not been able to talk about Chakotay enough, and I need to. It's a compulsion.
Well, we do have a couple of other crew members we didn't get to last time, including B'Elanna, to start, and Seven of Nine, who we also did not get to last time.
That is true. As long as we don't spend as much time with them as we did with Harry.
No, absolutely not. Harry is absolutely the gold medal winner in this regard.
Wah, wah.
So almost immediately after we finished recording our last episode, Suzanne, part one of this two-part discussion, I realized we forgot to talk about B'Elanna. She was not on the list that you put together.
Well, that's because I was going through when I was making my list, and I'm like, she really only had the one, that dude from Equinox, I think his name was Burke.
Maxwell Burke.
Maxwell Burke. He was the only one that I could think of. And I was like, eh. And they didn't really cover a lot, just that one of them didn't give back a sweater. That's all I remember.
And committing alien genocide pretty much squashes any long-term relationship prospects.
Did you see them getting back together? Even without the genocide thing going on, did you see it happening?
No, because I think he's kind of a swarmy character.
Now, possibly you might think he's swarmy because you're confusing him with the character he played on Lost, which was the Man in Black.
I did not see Lost.
Of course you didn't. You haven't seen anything.
Let's talk about another movie or another TV show that Zachary hasn't seen.
Come on, Lost was awesome.
So it's clear that B'Elanna and Maxwell Burke have some history, and that doesn't seem like it's quite enough to rekindle the romance between them.
No. To me, they just came across as old friends meeting up, you know, like old friends do in a coffee shop or whatever, and running into each other. Hey, how you been? I mean, yeah, there was something between them a while ago back at the Academy when they dated, but I didn't see any sparks flying between them.
And I think that's mainly because of B'Elanna, because B'Elanna's grown up quite a bit in her tenure as chief engineer.
Well, no sparks are going to fly because she's with Tom, and she's happy with Tom. Why would she jeopardize that for an old boyfriend from like years and years and years ago?
To get her sweater back.
You really think he has it on the Equinox? They don't have anything on the Equinox.
That would be really strange if he brought the sweater with him on the Equinox.
It's what keeps him warm at night. Yeah, so I just left him off the list because I didn't see any sparks happening there. That's in the past. Old news.
Well, I think for B'Elanna, there are a couple of other people we could talk about. We could talk about Chakotay.
Excuse me?
I know. I'm squashing your dreams here.
That was a one-sided thing. There was no interest from my main man, Chakotay, on that one.
And because of that, it's inherently doomed.
Well, if you look at it that way, isn't every relationship on Voyager doomed? If only one person is involved in it?
Darn you and your logic, Suzanne.
Oh, now it's me and logic. I don't think so.
I hate logic, Suzanne. Okay, so if Chakotay is not a realistic part of this discussion, how about Vorik?
Again, one-sided. She had no interest in Vorik.
That doesn't stop anyone on Voyager.
So why not throw in the dude from Sandrine's that hits on everybody because he hit on B'Elanna?
The hologram?
Yes.
See last week's discussion on holograms.
But if you're including everybody that just has like a crush on somebody else without that other person being interested, where does it end?
So it has to be a bona fide relationship.
Yes. Not just, hey, I like this person. Oh.
Actual doom, not potential doom.
No, because then we'd have way more on Harry's list and we don't have time for that.
We would, wouldn't we? We'd still be on Harry this week.
Harry's list would be never ending.
I still think B'Elanna and Vorik are fun to talk about because they're work colleagues and Vorik clearly has partially expressed feelings for B'Elanna.
She's partially?
Not interested, but...
He's done a little more than partially. He went all pawn far on her. That's taking it up a notch.
You don't think that if Vorik grew up a little bit and mellowed out a little bit that maybe B'Elanna would warm up to him a little bit?
That is the ultimate odd couple. I mean, really.
Tom and B'Elanna are a pretty odd couple, too,
this,
in all fairness.
Vorik would take it like, whoa. I don't even have words for how much of an odd couple that would be.
Why? What's so odd about Vorik?
No, a full Vulcan with a half Klingon? It's like two ends of a spectrum. The only thing that would have made it even worse if she was full Klingon. I think my head would have exploded at that point.
I think that's why it's a fun and interesting idea worthy of consideration.
Just because you want to see the train crash. That would be their relationship. Come on, that would be violent and crazy and illogical. And
yes, it would be illogical.
I don't think Vorik could handle it. Oh, they could go to Tuvok for counseling. Imagine that going on.
Like a three-way mind meld? Is that a thing? Can you have it? Can Vulcans have a three-way mind meld?
They have two hands. I don't see why not.
Is that a part of Vulcan counseling? A three-way mind meld? I love that idea.
Who knows? Tuvok could have come up with it.
Like mind meld mediation.
Exactly. My thoughts to your thoughts to my thoughts, his thoughts to your thoughts. That could get confusing after a while, though. Whose thoughts are going where and why? And how often?
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear. You're right, absolutely. Vorik and B'Elanna are not a real possibility. But it's still interesting to think about for the reasons we mentioned. And it's definitely doomed, so worthy of being on our list.
It's doomed.
It's not just doomed, it's doomed.
It's seriously doomed.
You don't feel for poor Vorik, though?
Oh, of course I feel for Vorik. I mean, he's stuck on this ship. The only other Vulcan we see is Tuvok. His prospects are nil. I feel bad for the dude.
Who would be a good match for Vorik? Anyone? While we're coupling people up on Voyager?
I have no idea. We don't really meet enough of the Lower Decks characters for me to say, hey, he'd be good with Susan Nicoletti. I don't know much about her. The only other one we see is Samantha Wildman, and he would not be a good match with her. Because she's still married.
Vorik and Samantha Wildman.
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't see him, you know, taking Naomi as his own. Could you see him raising Naomi as Vulcan? That would be interesting.
I can't see him actually doing it, but I could see him making a good college try at it. Like, Vorik is so well-intentioned. He's like a puppy dog. He's a good guy.
He will give it his all.
He would give it his all.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it would actually... I can't actually... picture this unfolding, but I could see him giving it a try.
What about Tal Celes? She was in The Good Shepherd. So, I mean, a cute little Bajoran girl. Kind of quiet, like Vorik. Who knows? They might have some interests.
Well, it's funny because you'd think in a perfect world, Vorik should be with someone quiet, like he is. But yet he has a thing for fiery B'Elanna.
Sometimes what we want isn't what's right for us. Speaking from personal experience here. Doesn't go for everyone, but yeah, sometimes what we want isn't what's right.
Sage words from Suzanne. So I actually find this really interesting that B'Elanna's list is really, really short. Even shorter than Tuvok's. Tuvok had two people on his list last time. And B'Elanna really only has one person on her list. In all of Voyager, Maxwell Burke.
I just thought you put Vorik on her list.
Yeah, but I think you convinced me that he doesn't actually belong on her list. She belongs on his list, but he doesn't belong on hers.
Well, we could count him as a half. So B'Elanna has one and a half. Vorik on her list only counts as 0.5.
Still fewer than Tuvok. Yeah.
Yes, it is less than Tuvok. Wow, Tuvok's a player compared to B'Elanna.
I wonder why B'Elanna just didn't get that much attention in this way from the writers in Voyager.
She was busy sciencing the science and taking care of the warp core.
So we also didn't get a chance to talk about Seven of Nine last time in part one. And Seven of Nine has quite a list herself.
She has, yeah, a bit of a list. I mean, there's Harry and the Doctor, which we both mentioned in part one. So I think we've covered them.
As fun as it would be to rehash Seven of Nine and Harry, I think we can safely refer people to part one.
But she has Lieutenant Chapman. I mean, their relationship didn't last long. It didn't even last a full date, but it was still there.
Okay, I've got to go to bat for Lieutenant Chapman here. I think that's a great idea.
He tried. He tried really hard.
Well, he's such a nervous guy. Of all the people that Seven of Nine would pick for her first date, she picks him. He needs a cheering squad. He needs someone in his corner. He needs Boothby cheering him on.
Honestly, wouldn't you be nervous if Seven of Nine asked you out on a date? I would be. I would be petrified. I'd be like, gosh, I hope she likes me. Gosh, I hope she likes me. Don't let me do anything wrong, please. I would be a total and complete wreck, so I understand the nervousness that he had.
I think I might be slightly less nervous than Lieutenant Chapman.
Really?
Who's pretty nervous.
I would be as nervous, if not more.
Being someone who has a slightly nervous temperament all the time, I relate to Chapman. I understand.
Okay. But you'd play it cooler than he did.
Yes, I would be much more suave as I peeled the lobster off my face after Seven of Nine sprayed lobster all over me.
Lobster has a mind of its own. When you crack those shells, it's going to go where it wants to. Nobody has control over that. So, I mean, that's just a natural thing.
So mistake number one, don't order the lobster.
But you have to order the lobster. First date, hey, lobster.
So demanding, Suzanne. You make your first dates buy you lobster?
No, I would like to. I think Timothy bought me a donut on our first date.
A donut?
A donut. Yeah.
I like exploring these hypothetical scenarios. Like, what would have happened if Seven of Nine had just stuck it out with Lieutenant Chapman and he became a recurring character? That would be interesting.
Well, wouldn't it have been, what if Lieutenant Chapman had stuck it out with Seven?
Yes, in all fairness, I guess he's the one who didn't want a second date. He's like, we'll do this again sometime, Seven.
Wasn't he injured in some way?
Yeah, dancing, I believe. She pulled a shoulder or a muscle or something.
Oh, because of her super Borg strength. I forgot all about that. Yeah, so had he just, you know, stuck it out with her, they could have made it. They would have been cute. But I guess he wasn't up for the injury all the time.
I think it's adorable that Seven of Nine thinks she totally failed her first date, too.
Yeah, she didn't fail. Everybody needs practice.
I did think that Seven of Nine and he actually had a bit of a rapport, though. He was a little nervous. Mm-hmm. And yes, he went scurrying away. But it's not like they had a bad first date. You know, it was awkward, but...
No, there have been worse first dates. I've had them.
And how did those turn out? Doomed.
Doomed. Yes. Very much so, thankfully.
So, yeah, sadly, as much as I want to cheer on Lieutenant Chapman and be in his corner like Boothby, sadly, they were doomed.
But that's not the only doomed relationship Seven had. You know, her other doomed relationship was with Axum, another Borg drone that she had met in Unimatrix Zero.
And Seven of Nine and Axum have shared experience and history in their favor.
Yes, they do. Unfortunately, they're in different parts of the universe.
Well, not when they're in Unimatrix Zero.
That is true, but Unimatrix Zero has been destroyed, so they can't meet up anymore. But if you had been reading your Voyager books, you'll know that they have. Ha-ha!
Axum is kind of like the Postal Service. Neither rain, nor sleet, nor snow, nor 70,000 light years. We'll keep Axum away. It's like that song, Hey There, Delilah.
I love that song. Plain White Tees.
So instead of Hey There, Delilah, it's Hey There, Seven. 70,000 light years seems pretty far, but they've got shuttlecraft and ships and transwarp conduits, and I'd walk to you if I had no other way.
Seeing Seven in Unimatrix Zero with Axum, it's really interesting to see a more human side of her that we don't really get to see outside of that. I mean, seeing her without all of her accoutrement, no little thing above her eye, nothing on her hand, seeing her as a full human and experiencing emotions was something I wanted more of.
And it was interesting to me how naturally she did that, too. It took a little kind of remembering of what it was like to be that version of herself.
But yeah.
She did kind of let down her guard pretty naturally once she was in Unimatrix Zero. But fundamentally, Seven of Nine and Axum are still doomed.
They're doomed because they're in different quadrants. Isn't he in like the beta quadrant or something?
Distance is a solvable problem.
Not when you have no communication, which they had none. They were that far away. I could see if, you know, they could talk via some sort of relay, but they didn't even have that. They can't use the Midas Array to talk back and forth. Maybe she could get Reg Barkley to work on that for her.
They can't even agree on where to meet for coffee. Got it.
Oh.
So the next one on your list, and it is your list, Suzanne, for Seven of Nine, is the person you don't want to be associated with Seven of Nine, Chakotay.
Fake news! Fake news!
Fake news.
I don't care if it happened. It's fake news.
So yes, we do need to spend some time on this, in fact. We're going to talk about Chakotay in a minute, but let's talk about Seven of Nine and Chakotay. Why is Chakotay such a doomed relationship for Seven of Nine? We'll talk about Chakotay in a minute, but why is he doomed for her? Have I read the book? You're going there again, not 30 seconds after we just did that?
Did you at least read the first novel after Voyager concluded? Have you read Homecoming?
You know, I did, but years ago.
Homecoming breaks them up. Yay! It was undone. The evil was undone.
But why is it such a bad thing? Yes, I know you don't like it because you're team Janeway Chakotay.
Forever,
but
JC.
Why is it such a bad thing? It may not be interesting. I don't think they have much on-screen chemistry,
no.
Honestly. But from a character standpoint, why is Chakotay so bad for Seven?
It's not that he's bad for Seven or she's bad for him. It's that it came out of nowhere and blindsided everyone. I mean, there was just such animosity between them that you never saw them coming together. And then, boom, they're there. It's like, what did you... Excuse me? When did this happen? Is this a nightmare? I think it's a nightmare. And that's why I refuse to accept it. It just, there was no buildup. It was just, here, smush it in your face. This is happening. No, no.
It does make me wonder what species Seven of Nine's animal guide would be. What species number, like species blah, 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 blah.
That's an interesting question. What would her animal guide be?
It would have to have a number.
Well, we could figure out the number later, but it has to be an actual animal. Something smart, fastidious.
Like a beaver?
No. Ooh. I could see like a cat. Some kind of cat. But I don't know what kind of cat. Not like a big cat. Not like, you know, lion and tiger.
An earth cat or an alien cat?
Well, now you open it up to alien species. I was just thinking earth species. Wow.
Oh, I was thinking like an alien cat. Because felines aren't just restricted to earth, right? There are, just like there are alien dogs, like targs. They're, you know, they're canines more or less, right?
Well, darn it, I don't know what the equivalent of a cat is on Vulcan, because I would say it would be a Vulcan cat, but I don't know what they call them.
Wait, didn't Tuvok have a pet Vulcan cat?
I don't know.
I think there's some reference to Tuvok having a pet cat, a pet something. The only Vulcan animal I can think of is a Vulcan Salat.
And they're kind of like a bear, aren't they? So it brings up the question, do Vulcans have a cat-like species, and if so, what is their name? Because that would be Seven's animal guide. Because you know they'd be smart and fastidious, but kind of Vulcan-like.
Well, let's jump on Memory Alpha and do a little search for Vulcan taxonomic nomenclature.
You go ahead and do that, Zachary. I will wait.
So, jokes about animal guides aside, do you think that Chakotay would add anything to Seven of Nine? Because Chakotay's pretty grounded, you know? He's grounded in his spirituality, he's grounded in his identity. I think he could help Seven find herself in an interesting way.
If I wasn't such a diehard Janeway Chakotay shipper, I could see liking them together because they could both bring something out of each other that is kind of lacking.
What does Seven bring out of Chakotay?
I could see Seven bringing a bit of youth to his life. Because at this point, 7 years have gone by, and even though he's dyeing his hair and he's not all salt and pepper anymore, Chakotay's gotten older and a little sedentary. She could help
bring... Sedentary?
Yes. He has gotten...
Like bedridden?
No. Sedentary as in a little paunchy.
A little squidgy around the middle?
He has put on a couple inches. Still lovable. Still lovable. But yeah, she could probably get him on the court playing a little more velocity than he does.
So to recap 7 of 9, we've got Harry, who we talked about in part one last time, mm-hmm. the doctor, who we also talked about in part one last time, Lieutenant Chapman, whose corner I am always in.
Me too.
Axum. You're team Chapman?
And team Axum. Yeah. I just want Seven to have a stable, loving relationship.
I still think it's an interesting idea to have 7 of 9 paired up with some lower decks kind of crewman like Chapman. I think that would be really interesting.
That would have been fun. It would have been very fun.
Well, they played off each other pretty well. They had their little mm-hmm. vaudeville act. So yes, Axum and Unimatrix Zero mm-hmm. and Chakotay.
Yes.
All of which were...
Doomed.
And that brings us to Chakotay, because we're saving Captain Janeway for last. So finally, Suzanne, we get to talk about Chakotay.
You're not going
to
pull the rug out from under me again and be like, nope.
No, it's happening. For you. It's really happening, Suzanne. We're talking Chakotay.
It's about time. It is about time. It has been too long.
So because you've been waiting for so long to talk about Chakotay, you get to have the first pick. Who is your number one doomed relationship for Chakotay? Doomed because you're glad it's doomed, or doomed because you wish it weren't doomed?
Well, I think we should save the doomed, but we wish it weren't doomed for the very last.
Chakotay and Janeway. I think it's a given that we should steer away from that, because that's well-trodden territory, and we should focus on everyone
else
besides
Janeway. But we're still going to talk about it.
Briefly, yes.
Dude, briefly? Briefly?
You want to go into depth as to why it's doomed?
No, as to why it's not. Hashtag read the books.
It's like 5 times you said that in one podcast.
I know, seriously. Read the books. I'm not joking.
In any case, we're going to bracket Chakotay and Janeway for now. Okay. So who is your non-Janeway number one doomed pick for Chakotay? Doomed for any reason.
Well, looking over the list that I have compiled for Chakotay.
It's kind of a long list.
It is. But thinking about each person on the list, minus maybe one, maybe two, I'm going to go with one. They were all using Chakotay for one reason or another. And I'm going to start with the biggest user, Seska. Because she was just using him to get information, being as she was a Cardassian spy. Which makes it doomed right there.
And she used him for his DNA?
Yes, to try and make the baby, which she failed at. How can you fail at that? I mean, seriously... You stole his DNA. You're trying to make a baby. I don't know if she had a petri dish or something. But how did she mess up and get Kulla's baby? I don't get that.
So yeah, it's pretty clear that Seska and Chakotay are doomed. She's mainly using Chakotay. Chakotay gets burned. Crash and burn. Yeah. It's doomed.
And she keeps coming back. Just a needle with him.
She does.
Even after she's dead, she comes back. Just a needle with him. Poor Chakotay.
Oh, Seska.
Has to live with those bad decisions.
So I feel like we can safely dispense with Seska as doomed without much in the way of caveats.
Yes.
You know who I thought was a surprisingly fun match for Chakotay? Oh. Valerie Archer, or...
Species 8472?
Yes, Valerie Archer from the simulated Starfleet headquarters.
Well, yes, but she still falls under the heading of using Chakotay.
But she's not a hologram.
She is not a hologram, but her visage is not real. She's not appearing as herself. So it's kind of like a holographic projection, because that's not, you know, her big lizard self.
It's a bit like holographic Mirena.
Yes. So it falls under your hologram rule. Doomed.
Well, as long as she can keep from reverting, it's fine.
She just has to keep taking those injections in her lizard leg to keep up the facade of being a human. But still, she was using Chakotay.
But they can sit and read George Bernard Shaw by moonlight.
Or go to the Vulcan nightclub on Ponfar night.
Or read Vulcan philosophy.
Good gosh, who would want to? Is that really romantic?
Sure. A Cave Beyond Logic by Firelight? Absolutely.
Yawn.
They seem to genuinely like each other. in the episode as well, despite their differences.
Yeah, I guess. I think Chakotay's just having fun. He's going where no man's gone before.
Did you really say that?
Yes, I really said that.
Wow. So it doesn't sound like you're as excited about Chakotay and Valerie Archer, whatever her real name is, as I am.
No, I'm not excited about anyone on Chakotay's list, but I think I made that clear.
You need to check your biases. You need to set Captain Janeway aside for the purpose of this segment of the discussion.
I can't. It's not in my my brain won't allow it, nor will my heart.
Okay, well, if you're not a fan
I can't
fan
be heartless like you.
But why are Chakotay and Valerie Archer so doomed despite their differences? Yes, she's species 8472. He is human. She's from fluidic space. He's from the Alpha Quadrant. What's the problem?
Dude, I think you summed it all up right there. She's a giant lizard and he's Chakotay.
You see doom, I see a challenge.
She's staying put. He's continuing towards the Alpha Quadrant. So once again, it falls under the Voyager is leaving that part of space.
It actually would be really interesting if they decided to keep her on board and bring a member of Species 8472 on board.
Okay, if they're taking anybody, it needs to be Boothby. Come on now.
It would be really interesting to have Boothby permanently on Voyager.
That would be awesome. We need more Boothby.
But for the purpose of this discussion, I still think having Valerie Archer in either form joining Voyager would be an interesting idea.
But I mean, think about it. Then you could have Boothby and Chakotay both bringing Captain Janeway roses. That would be interesting, because one is bringing her a rose for a different reason than the other.
And Chakotay would have a boxing coach.
Exactly, so he could get back into shape. So it's a win-win to have Boothby. There, it is settled. Boothby continues on with us.
Wow.
You're not buying this, are you, Zach?
No, I'm not.
Why is it not a win-win to have Boothby? Why?
Because we're talking relationships. We're talking... Who's Boothby going to be in a relationship with on Voyager?
He doesn't have to be in a relationship with anyone. He could be a sage old man giving advice to those in relationships. He could be the wise one. You know, he
like
could
the
be
dad
the one.
From Frasier?
Martin Crane was amazing, yes. No, but he could be the one that could possibly smooth out things enough so that B'Elanna and Vorik could be a couple. And there, you would be happy about that.
So Boothby the counselor.
Yes.
Ship's counselor.
Wasn't the real Boothby really a counselor?
Absolutely. So it would be Counselor Boothby, yes.
There you go.
Hang his little shingle outside of his quarters, you know, relationship
no,
advice.
No, he would work out of the aeroponics bay.
5 cents. Yes, I guess he would. Aeroponically grown roses and...
And advice.
Various potted plants and whatever
he
else.
He could have a little setup like Lucy does in Peanuts.
That's my point. Relationship advice, 5 cents. Exactly.
There you go. Yeah. Just in the middle of the aeroponics bay. So amongst all the flowers and fruits, there's Boothby.
Boothby is in.
Well, since you brought up Frasier and Frasier's dad, I think it's apropos that we move on to Riley Frasier.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
Why, thank you. Thank you very much. Dr. Riley Frasier was in the episode Unity. And ended up using Chakotay, as most of these people on his list did.
I mentioned this before the show, but I have this mental block against remembering the details of Unity. Like, I've seen it. I know I've seen it. I've seen it many times. I know I've seen it many times. And I still can't remember almost anything about that episode.
I'm that way with another person on this list in another episode. And we'll get to her, I'm sure, in a moment.
So do give me your take on Riley Frasier, speaking of Frasier.
Well, Chakotay crash-landed on a planet. I know that's shocking.
He crashed and burned.
He was with someone else. I think it was Ensign Kaplan or something. Kaplan was killed. Chakotay was seriously injured. And Riley Frasier, who used to be a Borg, and her people helped heal Chakotay. But they were using him to get... They were trying to get their neuroelectric field generator reactivated.
Well,
and Captain Janeway thought that would be bad. Because it would create another Borg collective. So therefore, she was against that. And Riley Frasier used her connection, the mental connection she made with Chakotay during the healing process, to manipulate him into getting what she wanted.
So last time, in part one, we talked about various categories of doomed relationships. The it-never-really-happened category. We had the don't-fall-in-love-with-a-hologram category. And this time, we have the manipulative category. with Seska and with Riley Frazier.
Yes. Poor Chakotay. These women are just manipulating him and using him and...
paint a target on his back.
I mean, really, everybody was lying to him. Tuvok lied to him. Tom lied to him. Riley Frazier, Seska. Everybody was lying to the man.
7 of 9 didn't lie to Chakotay.
No, she didn't. They just didn't like each other. Until the very end, for no obvious reason.
So there's not a whole bunch to say about Riley Frazier, I think. Just that she was manipulative and kind of a user. It's just Riley Frazier, user.
Exactly.
So running down Chakotay's list, we also have Tessa from Timeless.
Yes.
What's your take on Tessa?
She was just a filler. So this would be Chakotay using someone else.
It's got to be hard for Tessa not to take this a little personally. Like, he's trying to undo her entire
relationship, yeah. But she's willing to do it. Yeah, I mean, did she not think that they were going to be able to do it and they were going to fail and she'd still be there for him?
It's not clear exactly what her mental state is in relation to Chakotay. She seems pretty loyal, even enthusiastic for the plan. She clearly cares for him enough to want to help him out with his plan, however destructive.
Yeah, because she's going to go to jail for this.
Or worse, she's going to have, you know, well, it's like either she's going to jail or she's going to get killed in the process or... Yeah. The last, 15 years of her life are going to be unwritten.
Yeah, what is she thinking?
Talk about a glutton for punishment.
I know. Wow. Now I feel bad for her.
See, you're all Team Chakotay, but Chakotay has nothing to offer Tessa.
No. But she knows that going in. Does Tessa have no self-esteem?
She doesn't seem like she has no self-esteem.
Well, she doesn't think much of herself if she's willing to get involved in this and be involved with this person who's willing to just, give it all up and be like, I've never met you. I need to go back to the past.
You don't think it's sort of romantic and noble self-sacrifice? It's more pathetic and lack of self-confidence.
It's sad. It's like, girl, get yourself somebody that really wants to be with you, not somebody that's dying to go back to the past. She deserves better.
Tessa deserves better.
Tessa deserves better, yes.
Better than Chakotay. That's coming from Suzanne.
Chakotay deserves to be with Catherine.
I see. So there's a pecking order here.
There is. Things are supposed to be the way they're supposed to be.
Very rigid of you, Suzanne.
I am not known for my flexibility.
Well, we don't learn a lot about Tessa, so it's hard to make any snap judgments about what their relationship is really like. Although Harry Kim does sum it up kind of succinctly. But
yes, he does.
Still, though, after the timeline's reset, it's not like she dies. You know, the last 15 years of her life get rewritten. I wonder what Tessa's doing in the restored timeline.
I hope she thinks more of herself and actually finds someone that cares for her and doesn't continue to along the same cycle.
Maybe she's with Lieutenant Barkley.
No, because isn't he with that nice school teacher that's related to his boss or something?
Who likes cats, yes.
Yes.
Named Hope, if memory serves.
Oh, I guess this takes us to a certain point in Chakotay's list. A point that I find very forgettable, which is ironic because she was in the episode Unforgettable.
I don't understand why people don't like that episode. I like that episode.
Why? Why do you like that episode? I need to know.
I'm not sure I can give it a real reason. It's charming in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're like, no, it's not.
It's completely forgettable.
Yes, compared to many other episodes, but I don't think it's a bad character episode.
I mean, what kind of species puts off pheromones that make people just forget about them? What is up with that?
But aren't some relationships like that? Some of them are just forgettable. It's very metaphoric.
Well, some of them I'd like to forget. And I seriously wanted to like this episode because I adore Virginia Madsen, who played Kellen. I mean, she was in Candyman. She was awesome. And she was also in Sideways. Really good movie. If you haven't seen it, watch it.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that in a while.
Oh, my God. You've seen it?
I have seen Sideways. Yes.
I am in shock. I am in so much shock. Zachary has seen a movie that I've seen. Now, are you talking to Candyman or Sideways?
I've seen Sideways.
You've not seen Candyman?
I have not.
Okay. That's okay. It's a horror movie. I don't expect everyone to have seen it.
I'm more of a rom-com guy.
But seriously, I wanted to like this episode because of the actress, but I really didn't. And honestly, I can't remember much of what happens because it is completely forgettable.
No, I think you're right about that. The episode as a whole is forgettable. I thought that Chakotay and this character had pretty decent on-screen chemistry, and it was charming as a result. Parts of it were.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like about it. I just thought it was a charming, you know, one episode sort of love story.
And isn't this like one of the two or so times we actually see someone writing down their log? Because I believe Chakotay writes it down. And then at some other time we see Janeway writing out a log. I could be wrong and it could be some fanfic that I've read. But I want to say that I'm remembering it correctly.
In Deep Space Nine, we see Jake with his little space pencil on his space iPad.
Oh, yeah. But I think this was actually paper and pencil type thing. Something that couldn't be erased.
I guess by definition, if there's someone you're never going to remember, then it's inherently doomed.
Yes. There's no other way for that to be but doomed.
It could be like a 51st date scenario where every day she's got to make Chakotay fall in love with her all over again.
That's a lot of effort. Chakotay's a busy man. He's second in command. He doesn't have time for that.
And Chakotay's spirit animal might actually be a walrus. Yeah, I can kind of picture how this 51st dates analogy would unfold. Every day, Kellen meets Chakotay at the Akuchimoya Cafe. They have waffles.
Seriously, the Akuchimoya Cafe?
And she makes him fall in love with her all over again, every day. So with Kellen, is that the whole list for Chakotay?
Yes, because we already covered 7. That is Chakotay's list, except for Catherine, which I think we should save for the end of Captain Janeway's list. That way non-shippers can be like, I'm going to tune out here.
So without further ado, let's move on to Captain Janeway, who has a fairly impressive list herself of doomed Voyager relationships.
Yes. Yes, she does.
Do you have any favorites?
Favorite about being doomed?
Either way, favorite because it's doomed or favorite because it was a good match but happened to have been doomed.
Okay, my favorite for being doomed would definitely have to be Mark Johnson, also known as the Vulky Hobbs Johnson, if you've read Mosaic. She grew up with him. That's how she always referred to him growing up, was Vulky Hobbs Johnson. And then all of a sudden they're engaged just because he helped her get over the death of her first fiancé, Justin? I don't think so.
You're not buying it, in other words.
I'm not. I just, in the books... And then, yeah, I just don't see them meshing ever. And even the Mark that we saw on screen, he's just too straight-laced and kind of vanilla. That doesn't work for Catherine. I'm sorry. She needs someone a little more spiritual in her life.
Mark did send her a Dear Janeway letter, and that, if anything dooms a relationship with Janeway, that would do it. She doesn't take kindly to a Dear Janeway letter.
Well, who does take kindly to a Dear Janeway letter?
But I think you're right. Ultimately, Janeway would have been bored with Mark, the little we know of Mark.
Yeah. I mean, he was just taking care of her dog, and the dog had puppies, and the puppies got along with his kitten, which makes me wonder. He's a cat person. She's a dog person. Is this really going to work?
He's not just a puppy dog himself. He takes care of puppies, is what you're saying.
She gave him her pregnant dog to take care of while she went on her 3-hour tour and then got lost in the Delta Quadrant.
What happens to Molly, by the way?
Well, according to Homecoming, Molly is still alive when Janeway gets back from the Delta Quadrant.
It hasn't been that long. That makes total sense.
Well, it's been 7 years. I mean, we don't really know how old Molly was when Janeway
left.
Which
is 49 in dog years.
And she had puppies, but, I mean, she's been living with Mark this whole time.
So Molly's middle-aged.
Yes. And his family. So Janeway let her stay with the family she's known. Which is kind of sad, but I guess she can always get another dog.
You know what Janeway should have said to Mark?
What?
This is a leave me, leave my dog situation. I'll take my dog back.
No, but they have a little boy. You can't take the dog away from the little boy.
Yeah, that would be heartless.
That would be really, really mean.
Okay, good point. So I think we can dispense with Mark pretty quickly.
Yes. Yes, we can. See ya, Hobbs.
What about Michael Sullivan?
I think that falls under your hologram rule, doesn't it?
Oh, did I break my own rule? I know I want to make an exception for Michael Sullivan because
there
I think
are no,
good.
No exceptions.
What? I like Michael Sullivan.
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
I like Michael Sullivan. I think he's a good match for Captain Janeway, absent Chakotay.
I think I need to find another person to do this podcast with because I'm going to have to kill you. What? Seriously? Michael Sullivan.
They have some things in common.
What? What do they have in common?
Okay, that's a good point. Irish literature.
Only because she fudged with his programming.
To give him the education of a third-year university
student.
To
give him what she wanted.
She didn't even make him a senior. She made him a junior in college.
She also made him taller, like Chakotay height.
With some oddly specific facial hair requirements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. I don't buy that Michael Sullivan is good for her.
He makes Captain Janeway be less rigid and see possibilities she doesn't see for herself.
I'm sorry, but a Chakotay did that before on New Earth, which was like years before.
And Michael didn't even make her a bathtub.
No, there was no bathtub. Therefore, not a good match.
No bathtub, therefore not a good match?
He's not whittling a thing. He's just climbing trees and proclaiming his love, which is a little weird.
And arm wrestling.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with Michael Sullivan. Okay, maybe he's not a great, great match, but they've got some things in common. They seem to have a rapport. There's nothing wrong with him.
Again, what do they have in common?
Okay, I keep coming back to the Irish literature.
Which she planted in his brain, his holographic brain.
So what? Why is that so bad, Suzanne?
So it's okay to just take a holographic character you don't like them at first, so you can just tweak and tweak and tweak to get what you want?
The cynical part of me would say that's not so different from how actual people are with each other.
It's not that easy with actual people.
That's true.
You can't just delete the wife.
It does seem ultimately doomed, but I'm not sure why it's doomed. It may not be a great match, but why is it doomed?
Because he's a hologram.
Yeah, I know. I'm breaking my own rule here, I know.
Yeah. You are. And I'm putting my foot down on the rule.
I guess maybe it's the same part of me that roots for Lieutenant Chapman. I want to root for Michael Sullivan a little bit. He's kind of an underdog.
Can't you root for Chakotay? And if you're rooting for Chakotay, therefore you cannot root for Michael Sullivan.
They're mutually exclusive.
You just can't.
I know. I'm getting your back up here. I can tell.
If you weren't like a 3 days drive away from me, you'd be in trouble, mister.
You can beat me up in Unimatrix Zero.
I'll see you later in Unimatrix Zero.
So you don't seem too enthusiastic about Michael Sullivan. Nope. That much is clear. We differ on this a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit? I think it's like a 180. We couldn't be further apart on this.
You don't think they have actual... Okay, Chakotay aside, you don't think they have on-screen chemistry together? I think they totally do.
It's manipulated chemistry, therefore not real chemistry.
Manipulated chemistry.
It is. It's manipulated. She totally manipulated him and his programming into what she wanted. Therefore, that's not real.
So she's like Seska.
In a way, yes.
Hmm.
I mean, not in the evil Seska way, but she took this holographic person and changed all these things about him just to make
literally
him into
manipulated
what she
him.
Wanted.
Not just metaphorically yes. Manipulate, literally manipulate.
It is literally manipulation of the programming. So yeah, no. No Michael Sullivan. Nope.
Well, let's move on then. Who else do you have?
I guess there's Jaffin from Quora. I mean, she wasn't in her right mind when she met him and moved in with him. So quickly. Oh my gosh, really? They'd known each other, what, a day, maybe? Oh yeah, I'll move in with you. The heck was that about?
This is yet another category of doomed relationships. If you can't remember your own identity...
If you're not in your right mind...
probably the relationship you're in is doomed. If you don't even know your own name, you're probably in a doomed relationship. Okay, you know what this is? This is Jeff Foxworthy, You Might Be a Redneck If.
Oh, Lord.
If you fall in love with a hologram...
you might be in a doomed relationship.
If you fall in love and it never really happened...
You might be in a doomed relationship.
If you fall in love with someone manipulative...
You might be in a doomed relationship.
If you can't even remember your own name...
You're definitely in a doomed relationship.
You know, Jaffin always strikes me as as boring as Mark, honestly.
And he looks a lot like Mark.
Which is probably intentional.
But what was also intentional in that episode when she strokes his forehead. That's exactly where Chakotay's tattoo is.
Oh, I never noticed that. That's a good point.
Seriously, you never noticed that? That's right.
I didn't notice
that. Right where Chakotay's tattoo is. Oh my gosh. I obsess over that moment each time. I'm like, Chakotay.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I never noticed that one. I'm glad you pointed it out. Now I have to go rewatch it.
Yes. So it's like they took her affections for Chakotay and just transferred them kind of onto this vanilla plain. Really boring dude.
I don't find him very interesting.
No, nothing about him stands out. He's just like, eh.
Yeah, I've got nothing for Jaffin. Jaffin is boring.
Jaffin does nothing for me, so let's move on.
Let's dispense with Jaffin. How about Kashyyyk?
Kashyyyk was interesting.
Of all of Janeway's potential love interests, her doomed relationships, I think Kashyyyk is the one who could give her a run for her money. He has the best chance of being an equal.
But he's so manipulative and to use your word from earlier, smarmy.
Yes, but he's better at pretending not to be.
Not really, because you just don't believe it. It's like, no, dude, there's still some of that. But you see the little twinkle in his eye and you know he's got something up his sleeve.
He does always have a twinkle in his eye.
Yes.
That's part of his charm.
I wanted to like him. I really did. But he was just too... I think it was the way he kept yelling, Prax!
So yes, he was swarmy. Yes, he had a twinkle in his eye. Yes, he was manipulative. But of everyone on the list, more than Michael Sullivan, more than Jaffin, more than Mark, he can relate to Janeway at Janeway's intellectual level. They're at least intellectual equals.
There's somebody else on this list that I think is a definite intellectual equal.
Who, Q?
Yes! Don't you go ooh-hoo Q to me and make that face?
Yes, if you're omniscient, you're an intellectual equal of anyone. Yes, okay, exactly. Sure. By definition, Q is an intellectual equal or superior, but...
I would choose Q over Kashyyyk any day.
Oh, sure, absolutely. From a practical relationship standpoint, absolutely. I guess my point is that for the non-omnipotent, non-omniscient mortal beings, Kashyyyk is the best of that category. Non-Chakotay, yes, add non-Chakotay to the list.
Yes, because if Chakotay's a choice, no.
Chakotay can be Captain Janeway's intellectual equal. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
So he's got that going for him.
Okay, so out of the list, minus Q, minus Chakotay, yes, Kashyyyk would be at the top.
That doesn't leave too many other people on the list, just Mark and Michael Sullivan and Jeff.
No, that leaves Vanilla, and Hologram. So he beats out those three. I guess that's something.
I could see Kashyyyk being kind of a pet project for Captain Janeway, thinking she could reform him.
That never works, Catherine. It never works.
Well, she tried it with Michael Sullivan and didn't work. She's going to try it with Kashyyyk.
She had a better chance with Michael Sullivan than she does with Kashyyyk.
From a changing someone standpoint, yes.
Yes, from a flesh and blood human being is harder to change than a hologram.
But I think Captain Janeway is like this because she tends to see the good in people and she tends to see their potential. So, I think she looks at Kashyyyk and sees potential, and she wants the chance to try to change him.
She does, but she never trusts him.
And she probably never could.
No. Which makes for a doomed relationship. If you can't trust him, it's doomed.
Okay, so let's talk about Q, since you didn't like the way that I brought Q into the discussion here. Oh, you mean Q?
That look on your face, the disapproving look. Why disapprove of Q? What's wrong with Q?
What is wrong with Q? What? Where to begin?
He's playful. He's obviously
condescending.
Interested. What? Yeah, but I mean, he's Q. She's a human.
He's kind of a know-it-all.
He's omnipotent. Hello.
Oh, you mean omniscient? What? Sorry. Okay, so what's wrong with Q?
Other than he's a little boy at heart.
To some degree, I think Q and Kashyyyk actually have something in common. Both of them, to some extent, can be Captain Janeway's intellectual equal. I don't think either one of them can be Captain Janeway's moral equal.
Or emotional equal.
Yes, that as well.
Q is emotionally stunted.
I think Q means well a lot of the time. He doesn't always act like it, but I think he means
well. Oh, he never well acts like it.
He lets on.
Right. He never acts like it.
Whereas Kashyyyk just plain doesn't mean well sometimes, but...
Most of the time, Kashyyyk doesn't mean well. He just pretends.
Yes, okay.
Q does mean well. He just is always skewing things to work out best for him. Which, don't we all do that in some sort of way?
Sure, of course we do.
Yeah, if Chakotay wasn't in the picture, Q would be at the top of my list.
That's so interesting. I guess
it would be an interesting pairing.
I honestly would have to choose between Michael Sullivan and Q if I had to pick if Chakotay was not.
I am going to beat you with the Michael Sullivan. I'm just going to beat you repeatedly. Stop with the hologram. You're breaking your own rule.
Well, while Michael Sullivan does have Irish poetry in his bag of tricks, Q has poetry from thousands of civilizations across millennia, billions of years of history.
And Q can take you anywhere you want to go.
I don't want to say Q's not a good choice, because I think he is in a lot of ways. They definitely have their own chemistry and banter and vaudeville act. Q tries really hard. Captain Janeway is not interested, but he tries hard.
He does. And it makes me wonder, if she wasn't stranded in the Delta Quadrant, would she be interested?
In Q.
If she didn't have this looming drive to get everyone home.
You're saying if Captain Janeway were in the Alpha Quadrant.
Just running a regular mission, you know, and Q shows up, would she be interested?
I think the answer would still probably have to be no, but...
Why? Come on, it's Q. You really don't have all these people counting on you to get them home. They're already home. What do you got to lose? Mark, whoop-de-doo. Take a chance. You only live once. Go for it. Grab the brass ring.
Grab the brass ring? You know what Q reminds me of when he's trying to woo Captain Janeway? Do you remember the TNG episode, The Royale? There's this casino scene that's this sort of stereotypical depiction of the material from this bad pulp novel that this 21st century astronaut had with him in the episode. It's all very stereotypical and very corny. If that astronaut had brought a romance novel and Q had recreated an entire environment to woo Captain Janeway in, that is what is happening when Q tries to woo Captain Janeway. It's like he read some bad 20th century romance novel and that's his bag of tricks.
Although The Royale, all I really remember is Data playing craps. That's about the extent that
Yes, and
that I
manipulating
remember.
The dice to win. Yeah. Q would do that too. It's just so stereotypical, and I can't imagine Captain Janeway really goes for that.
I don't know. I just see...
You see potential there.
I see Captain potential if they were in the Alpha Quadrant. Yes, I see potential.
But ultimately, it's doomed.
Oh, definitely, because Suzy Plaxton shows up and puts the kibosh on anything. As well as she should, because she's amazing. So I guess that leaves just one person left to talk about.
For Janeway? Yes. We're finally at the...
Penultimate?
Well, no, technically penultimate is next to last, so Q is Janeway's penultimate, and Chakotay would be Janeway's ultimate in your hierarchy.
Chakotay is everyone's ultimate. Come on, be honest.
In the hierarchy of Voyager relationships, there's Janeway, Chakotay for you. Janeway Q, apparently, is the penultimate. So Janeway and Chakotay are ultimately doomed.
No, they're not.
If it never happens, it's doomed by default.
Excuse me, do I have to mention a certain hashtag yet again?
Which is?
Read the books.
Read the books.
It is not doomed. It lives forever. And it makes me so happy.
Okay, so if it's not doomed, it's not really on the list, right? We're talking about doomed relationships.
Oh, I know, but it's doomed on the show until they get home. And then once they get home, all bets are off. They don't have all these responsibilities and restrictions. And they can finally be the couple I always wanted them to be.
Janeway and Chakotay do have an interesting situation where they both seem to entertain the idea of a relationship, but they're both kind of afraid to pull the trigger on it.
Yes, because, I mean, they almost did on New Earth.
Of
course. And then they go back to the ship.
But even on New Earth, you know, where if you're going to pull the trigger anywhere, do it on New Earth, right?
Oh my gosh, if it hadn't been for the monkey and Tuvok.
If it hadn't been for the monkey, yes.
Tuvok and that darn monkey.
How often do you get to use a sentence like that? If it hadn't been for the monkey.
It sounds like a line from Scooby-Doo.
If it hadn't been for that meddling monkey.
Even when they got back to the ship and she got her Dear Janeway letter, and there was that scene that was shot but never used, where she says, should I give in to my feelings or hold fast to protocol? And you know she was talking about Chakotay and starting a relationship with him, and then shattered, where we see that spark reignited. And then boom, Jaffin happened.
Jaffin happened.
Vanilla. The return of vanilla. It was always there, but they had responsibilities. And I understand that. They had to get their crews, their respective crew, home. But once they got home, yeah! And maybe that's why Admiral Janeway came back to the past to get them home sooner. So she could get them home before Seven and Chakotay really solidified their relationship. So they could be broken up in homecoming and things could move on from there.
I can tell you've put quite a bit of thought into this.
You think? I've just had a few years to think about this and read different fanfics and write different fanfics all about these subjects. Yeah. But what do you think, Zachary?
I think at a certain point, one of them just needs to say what they want. And they're both afraid to. So it might be a little more doomed than you're giving them credit for.
You have no idea. Oh my gosh, if you read the books, you have no idea. Because even when things are said, bad things happen.
I think realistically, you're right. Janeway and Chakotay are the least doomed of everyone on Janeway's list. We're both committed to that proposition, that principle.
That relationship that was meant to be!
That too.
You sound really reserved about this.
I'm playing straight man to your comedy routine. After all of this talk of the doomed relationships in Voyager and our rankings and hierarchies, I kind of want to make an infographic.
Of course you do.
Depicting these hierarchies and intricacies and prioritizations.
And rules. Don't forget your rules.
Yes. Well, Suzanne, it's been fun talking about the relationships on Voyager that were forged in the fires of Mount Doom. But this isn't the only thing we've been discussing here on the network this past week, so here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek.fm.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Edge, a Star Trek Discovery podcast.
She is going to be one of the greatest comedic stars of this century. She is going to be amazing, and I love her. She's hilarious. But Tilly has become solely comedic relief in this episode, and Tilly is not just comedic relief. She is smart. Tilly is a smart person. She right. knows her job. She is going to be one of the greatest captains in Starfleet. I believe that.
Warp 5.
Wait, hold on. You don't have a reflection. There's beams of light traversing the ship, cutting you. Mm-hmm. And my lack of logic is what's astounding here?
Yeah, because you made an assumption based on zero evidence.
Except for the fact that they just melted.
Yeah, the three
we
that
don't
we've
know
seen,
for
we
a
don't
fact
know
that
what the rest of them are doing. This is the
we
first one
we don't know if it
seen.
Was anymore.
Okay, let's scan the melting.
Earl Grey.
But yes, I was a huge Star Trek fan. Never in my life ever imagined that I would ever appear or meet some of those fabulous people on that show. Never thought, and meet Gene Roddenberry. I never thought I would ever meet. Most of my life, I never thought would happen. So I feel very, very fortunate.
The 602 Club.
And it really speaks to me, Halliday's ego even, of I'm going to make everyone love what I love. And then that's how they'll win the contest. You know, and it's sad that it feels like it all became that, what you're saying, Matt, of it, everyone not even having the creativity to have their own stuff anymore. It's all about what Halliday was interested in. And then I think, too, it really also could be even a commentary about greed in society now, that everything really revolved around wanting to get his, and you know, his fortune. So they did all the research they had to do because they just wanted the money.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all of these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on your iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and a written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and most third-party podcast apps. And you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link as well.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners-only group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose Message to a Trek.fm show and select To the Journey. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. Zachary, when you're not having a couple of scoops of vanilla with Mark and Jaffin, where can our listeners find you?
Well, you can find me elsewhere on Trek.fm as co-host of MetaTrek's TrekFM show on Star Trek and philosophy. You can always find me in the Babel Conference if you'd like to talk about Voyager with me in there, and you're welcome to follow me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G. And Suzanne, when you're not having breakfast and looking for love in the Akuchimoya Cafe, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the TrekFM network?
You can find me occasionally popping up in the Babel Conference. You can also find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneWay8.
Well, if you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week, we invite you to become a patron of the network through Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/trekfm, that's patreon.com/trekfm, to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and many more, all available through our special patrons website, the Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of time and money to produce, host, and distribute these podcasts each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us, and we hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
Well, there are a few people we would like to thank. First off being C. Brian Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek.fm, who you can always find hanging out in Unimatrix Zero. Our executive producers, Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp. Aaron Harvey, our art director. Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Brandon Shamatala, our Patreon manager. And a big special thank you to our associate producers, Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau.
Well, be sure to join us next week, and we will be getting relationship advice from Counselor Boothby. But until then, this has been To the Journey.